Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello guys, and once again welcome to Injury Time Extra as we bring you the second part of our sit down with Mandar Tumane, the Chief Technical Officer of Bengaluru FC. Sandeep, the first part was pretty informative about what the club wants to do going ahead in their first season in the Indian Super League.
Yes, and in the second episode we will tell you, or Mandar will tell you, about what went behind making of Bengaluru FC.
Yeah, 4 years back when it was just a plan and guys approached him, he initially didn't even want to get on board.
Yes, he'll tell about his initial decisions to come here, the decisions to get the coach, how cows on the road influenced the decision about the coaches, and many other things, including player recruitment, how they go about recruiting players, the foreign players, and scouting systems that BFC have in place, and everything else under the sun about Bengaluru FC.
So guys, go on and listen into what Mandar has to share.
So,
going by 4 years,
yeah,
when JSW first approached you to start a club in Bangalore, what was your first reaction?
No, I mean, the reaction was, it was not actually an approach for a job per se. It was just, as I said, Kunal Agarwal was my school friend and is related to the Jindal family. And that time Path wasn't here, Path was studying abroad.
Okay.
So when Kunal suggested that, you know, there is a thought that the I-League is, the AFF is coming up with the kind of corporate entries and the JSW group and Mr. Jindal is trying to, you know, do you think you can give a kind of a presentation which will help them understand the Indian football scheme of things better.
Okay.
So it was just a help that I gave him a presentation. I said, now you take it forward. And believe me, when we went for that meeting in Delhi, which was where a lot of corporates had come for that kind of a corporate entry, I had gone not with the JSW group, I had gone with the Venkies group, the guys who own the Blackburn Rovers, and they are very, I mean, I'm very close to people who work there, so I'd gone with them. It was not with JSW, it was with them, but obviously Venkies did not want to get into the in the I-League, because if there was a certain fee, because there was a fee that had to come with that, so they were of the thought process that if you're spending money already in England with Blackburn Rovers, I don't think we should spend money here and come with the team. So that's the reason they didn't come. And then obviously when that meeting happened and when JSW gave a strong thing that they wanted to be a part of it, that's when again I came into the picture with Kunal, and then we started, he said ki, let's have a meeting, and that's when I met Mustafa first, because Mustafa was part of the JSW sports with what they were doing with the other sports that were related to, and then we had a couple of meetings in how they could go ahead, because again I was not part as a guy who was on board as a consultant, as an employee. It was just out of friendship and out of whatever I was doing, it was just a suggestion. And it all started in that manner, and then coach obviously was the thing, and then we, because of my association with Indian football, we had around 6-7 coaches, obviously I cannot take the names, whom
were
we,
Indians?
Indian coaches,
Indian,
because
coaches.
I wanted them to understand how the Indian coaches work also, but in my mind it was very clear that it will be a foreign coach.
Okay.
So I also we also interviewed a lot of foreign coaches who were part of Indian football, who at that time also currently coaches with certain clubs, and certain clubs who have not been a part of for that particular season, were not appointed by any other other clubs, but had an experience of being a part of being coaches. So then in Pune, this all happened in Pune only, so we called all the coaches and we interviewed them one after other, came with the presentations, etc. Obviously Pradyum was one of them, who had applied for the head coach. So it started the process happened like that. Then we had a lot of Skype calls with guys who are not in India, so we had also confirmed one particular coach from England that we would want to go ahead with, confirmed the sense it was closed, but then not as in on paper, but we had again I cannot take his name, but we had closed him, and then things did not move in a favorable manner with him, because of his side, that he was on a slightly on a older side, and his wife did not want to come here. So he said, "I don't want to come to India. There'll be cows on the road and this and that. And what will happen if something happens?" So he had this typical, you know, which was very natural from a for
right.
a foreign coach to come
right.
into India. With due respect to him, I think he had very genuine queries.
Mm-hmm.
So then I feel if that's going to be the case, then half the time he's doing a job here, he will be more focused on what's happening there rather than here. So then, and obviously I'm cows on the road. So I said, then that's not the guy that we want. And then obviously we had a interview with Ash, and he comes with a reference of one of my close friends who's also an agent, FIFA agent in India, but he doesn't work how the other agents work because he's not... In India, if you have to have foreign players, you have to, Indian players, you have to be of a different mindset.
Right.
You have to be, you know, go and meeting people and talking to all the players and all, which he is not. His name is Jihan. He's just got his own company. He is one of the very few official FIFA agents which has passed their exams. Otherwise, others are ex-players or ex-friends or friends of friends who want to become agents. So at that point of time, it was compulsory that you had to be a FIFA agent to be an agent, official agent. Now it's that rule is gone. So then that's through him and a contact in England that we have through which we had Ashley. And then we finally came to a conclusion that Ashley would be the reason. And again, if I may say so, the reason what apart from Ashley is being a ex-player, he also had worked with Blackburn.
Michael Appleton.
Yeah, he was an assistant to Michael Appleton at Blackpool, at Portsmouth first, then at Blackpool, and then at Blackburn. And since the Indian Connect, I got to know a lot positive feedback about Ashley from Blackburn. As in, like he's like a workaholic. He's the first on the pitch, goes out the end, and does everything on his own. Likes to do everything on his own. And I've got a current coach who's now with my academy at Bellary, who was a coach at my small club in Pune.
Okay.
And my small club in Pune has got a sponsorship from Venky's group.
Okay.
And I build that up with not just money. I wanted coaches and players to go and work there in the club.
Okay.
And this particular guy's name is Ajay. He was as a coach working at Blackburn for almost 3 years.
Okay.
So I spoke to Ajay about Ash, and he said, "Boss, he's class." Like, you know, from obviously I wanted to know from an Indian mindset because I had not been there. So Ajay also played a very important role in telling me about Ash is good, etc., etc. And we have seen Ash was obviously good in terms of kind of work that he did here. So that's how we, you know...
But still, he wasn't your first choice.
I wouldn't say he was the first choice because that time his choice was... I didn't have an Ashley, that somebody and somebody then to say, you know, I don't want Ashley, I want that somebody.
Okay.
Ashley came in when that somebody was not in the picture.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say Ashley was the first or the second choice because Ashley was not a choice when that first choice happened.
Okay.
And then Ashley came into the picture when then and then became the first choice, obviously.
Independent choice.
He's an independent. He came in later when we had when we decided that we didn't want to take this particular gentleman. That's when then we had to look more.
Right.
When we looked more, then we got Ashley.
Okay.
And that's how Ashley was on board. And another thing, what was important for us to, you know, for me at least to ascertain that Ashley was the right guy was Huma, because Huma was an Asian descent. She is Pakistani origin, her parents were, so she knew about Asia and she would be more comfortable to move here. Again, I didn't want a situation where somebody saying, you know, I don't want to come to India, you have to be there. So that was something important for me at that point of time, because since he was the guy who liked to do everything, then when he comes here, he will be engrossed in the job and then he should not be thinking back home. And then when then that involvement came that I could be, you know, on board. So then they said, you have to be on board. I said, I cannot stay in Mumbai. I cannot stay in Bangalore because I've got my own business in Pune, which I have to look after. So I will be, he said, then what designation, any consultant, anything is fine. I said, it doesn't matter to me because I'm doing out of more of a passion and something now that we are able to start a setup, then I might as well be involved where I am satisfied in what I'm doing. So that's how it all started. And then I came on board and then obviously the players and all started.
I think you and Pradyum were very keen getting the players in for the first season.
Yes, we both were very much keen because Pradyum had his kind of thought process which he wanted in terms of the players. And I always believe that a coach is more important to define players or to decide what kind of players they were. Whatever administration, whatever understanding about players is there, but I can suggest players only if a coach knows what kind of a system he wants to play. I cannot say these are a set of 30 players, now coach you play whatever style you want.
Right.
That doesn't work. I mean, at least with me it won't work that way. It has to be in consultation with the coaching staff, the technical staff. And that time we didn't have a head coach. So when Pradyum was on board, obviously we had to go with certain players which were available, because by then most of the clubs had already signed players. And
how difficult was that you had to get players who were not signed?
See, whether it's difficult or easy depends on how you look at it. I mean, today if you're going for the big names, obviously the big names were not available.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to create a squad, see, the principle that I had in mind was very simple, that if you have players, see, there will be a set of 15-20 players in the country which will be really top above the class, but the others will be only a difference of 18-20, 17-20. And if you want to bridge that gap, you have to give them another things around it, sports science, proper technical staff, proper whatever is there, for that bridge to, you know, grow and those players to perform. So that was very clear, because when I'm seeing Indian team, when I was a manager of the national team, we had a camp of say 30 players, and finally only 18 players or 20 players used to get selected. But the difference between the ones which were not selected was not that big a difference that you would say the coaches had to go by that form of that player at that point of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that difference of standard of playing is not that big a deal. Yes, you'll have one Sunil Chhetri, you'll have one JJ, you'll have one, those players will be brilliant. I mean, that you cannot compare then everybody with them. But the rest, I feel, are comparable. I honestly feel. And if you give them the right platform and the right systems and the right, you know, small things, like they have to fly at proper hours, not wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go at 4 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and travel and all, or have them the right food where you provide them with the breakfast and the proper lunch. So if you give them that kind, see, these things are all common abroad.
Right.
In India, nobody. I mean, it's uncommon because it comes at a cost.
Mm-hmm.
So today the thought process of certain clubs or certain in the past was what, that instead of spending money on this, I might as well sign an X player, an A player or a B player, you know, to make my squad strengthen. But what I always felt was that if that money is not spent on the player but on these other things, then even whatever player you get will try and come up to a level over a period of time. And I feel personally, this was my thought process, and I feel that after 3 years or 4 years that we have gone, I think that was the right thought process, because the results, it's not only about the results, it's about the right players who are with the right mindset are there, which are able to build, which the fans can relate to, with the club can relate to. And I think in the past 3-4 years, we all have seen that is something which definitely has gone in a positive way, more than the results. The results, I'm not bothered, plus or minus, you're going to win, you're going to lose, that's all part and parcel. But the effort or the attempt or the thought process that what you want to achieve is going with 100%. That's what satisfies you more than whatever is there. And obviously Sunil was a big name. Sunil was somebody whom we always wanted to sign, and he was the first player I spoke to even before we had the coach in mind. So I had spoken to Sunil about it. That time Sunil was on loan from Sporting Club Portugal, and he was playing on loan with Churchill. And he had come to play for Air India in Pune, because that time Air India used to play in Balewadi Stadium in Pune, although they're a club from Bombay. So he was there, and then he had come to play that game. And I told him that I want to speak with him about us. I spoke to him over the phone, and he said we will meet. So unfortunately, after this game, he was staying in one of the hotels which was very close to Balewadi Stadium. And he said we'll go out for dinner after that. And it so happened that he had an injury, so he had to be taken to one of the hospitals, and I was waiting at the hotel for almost 1.5 hours. When is he going to go? It was a small cut, he just had needed stitches.
Uh-huh.
And then he came back, and then we went out, we went to Kunal's house, my friend, and then that's where we discussed. I told him, you know, this is the thought process, this is this, and we want him to be a part of that. So I had a relationship with Sunil before because of my association with the national team. And he said, if I'm going to be involved, he will be more than happy. And with the JSW group being a group which it is, he knew there were solid owners backing the project. So he was part of it. He was the first person to be a part of it. And then obviously Pradyum came, and then stories went ahead. So that's how it was.
Well, that being said about the players, when Ashley left 2 years ago, how did you all boil down on Roka?
Again, it was a very tough decision to let go of Ashley. Whatever reasons were there, I think both of us had valid reasons, both parties had valid reasons that we didn't want to continue further, so that was dusted and that was gone. Now obviously the choice was to bring a new coach. Now there were two philosophies: either you bring in the same philosophy of an English kind of a mentality, so that because everybody was used to it, or then you change the mentality and come up with something new. Honestly, I wanted to have the first time to be very honest with you. But when Roka's profile came in, it was a solid profile in terms of his pedigree as a what he's done prior, in terms of being associated with a big club with solid players, and that's when I had to change the mind. You know, this is something which can add value to the club. Not in terms of obviously playing in a certain way, which obviously would be, but in terms of his experience that he had in handling a lot of big players and being in different countries, because he was in Spain obviously for a long period. Then he went to Turkey. He went to El Salvador, he went to Saudi Arabia. So that's something which the so-called management path, myself, Mustafa, we all like that. Path was very keen because of the obviously for his kind of background he came up with the kind of players he was with. So that made us the choice very easy for us. Uh-huh. That's how we had Roca on board.
Did it make easy because Roca came with such a good profile, a good coaching history,
and also he has experience in Asia.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia. Yeah, how keen is
it's important. Important. See, what happens is when you are bringing a staff here, all these things play an important role. Once you know that this technically he's good, ability wise he's good, but then as you mentioned that being in Asia, traveled different cities, so it doesn't come as a shock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm in India all my life and I have to go and work, say in Bangladesh or say in some other country, I will think twice, right? How that country would be. But being person who has been in Turkey, which is another country away from home, in Saudi Arabia, which is again a country away from home, in El Salvador, although El Salvador is more of a Spanish thing only, but still it's four different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And having experience of four different countries, then he's adaptable to various conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And that again was an important aspect
mm-hmm.
for us to say, yes, Roca is the guy.
And I'm sure when you started, you did not expect to win the title
yes.
in the first season.
100% so. I am 100% telling you that when you start a club, it was never of winning anything. Never in the sense, obviously you want to win, but you don't go with the thought process of winning the I-League or winning, I'm just going to win.
Uh-huh.
The basis that we had in mind was that we have to put the foundation strong and build over it. And maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, you know, we will have the results of winning a competition. So a funny incident is, just to tell you why we were aligned with that thought process is, we have got an incentive structure for the boys.
Okay.
So normally an incentive structure is when you win or you're a runner-up or a top three position.
Right.
We had an incentive in 7th position because that was 50% of the 14 teams
yeah.
that were playing in the league. So that just shows that we were prepared, that time was on our hand, we're a new club, we want to build. So we gave an incentive structure for positions right up in the 7th. So that was the honest thought process that we had.
Double when they win the league.
No. if you win, you had 10 rupees. If you are second, you had 9 rupees. So that way down, I mean, down it was. So there was obviously a incentive for winning also, but that didn't double because we won. But the idea was that we will give up till 7th position because that's an encouragement for the players to, you know, prove their point. So that was the thought process. So that thought process is in line with your question, because if you had gone to win, why would we give you an incentive to the 7th position? You would have been either top 3.
Uh-huh.
And then from the second year onwards, because we won,
mm-hmm.
then you cannot have a 7th position.
Yeah.
Then you have to be only top 3 then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then only top 2 then.
Uh-huh.
So that's how you get evolved.
True.
So it was not that we started off to yes, we have to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, when you are part of a setup, when you decide to do something, you always want to win.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to come last, or you don't want to come
True.
Mid-table, or you want
True.
To come, you always want to strive for the best.
True.
We hope that we could do that, and it happened.
Yeah. Like in 4 years, you have 2 leagues,
yeah.
2 Federation Cup, AFC
yeah.
Cup final.
Yes.
That journey in 4 years,
yeah.
and both of us, I started, my first press conference was BFC's launch.
Yes, yes.
Here, this
yeah.
was my first press conference.
Yeah.
So, how has that journey, it's been great for me. How
yeah.
has it been for you being
oh,
on the inside?
It's been phenomenal. See, it's been absolutely phenomenal. And for me, whenever, you know, everybody says you have won so much, yes. The for me, being from inside is, our strength has been our team. Whether it's on the pitch or off the pitch,
mm-hmm.
it's the people, right people that we have got on board. I wouldn't say it's because of me or because of this coach or because of that coach. It has to be everything together: the owners, the technical staff, the operation staff, the players, everybody. See, at the end of the day, players are your assets,
mm-hmm.
and you have to look at your player as your assets. If that mentality is there, then obviously if the players aren't there, we won't be here.
True.
So the most important thing are the players. Then you have the technical staff around them. And what most important is even the operation staff. Today, I personally feel that we have got the right people at right places,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the media team, whether it's the operation team. And all this has helped us build the club to whatever small level that we have jumped in 4 years. and I feel that that credit should go to everybody associated with the club who are now also and who have been in the past also. So it's a team game. If it's a team game on the pitch, it has to be a team game off the pitch. It's no individual can ever, you know, say, I have done this or I have done that. It's all of us together, whether it's on the pitch team or off the pitch team.
But when the, you rightly said that it's been a team effort,
yeah.
Right? On the pitch, off the pitch. But
yeah.
Winning the league in the first season,
yeah.
And then a trophy every consecutive year,
yeah.
Since then.
Yes.
How much of that played a role in building BFC the brand it is today?
See, results do matter.
Mm.
Because then when you...
Because then you have seen teams that
yes.
Came, did not win and fold again.
Yes. See,
especially corporate teams like Bharat Asia,
yeah.
And all folded.
Yeah.
So
it was crucial. Honestly speaking, I have not thought what would have happened if we would have won the league 4 years. I mean, like, we wouldn't have won a single trophy. At the end of the day, when Mr. Jindal and Parth also, you know, their thought process is very simple, that we should as a club function in a manner which would help in whichever way to help Indian football. And that's the thought process we have. Now, in that thought process, if you're winning, it adds more value to the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we started off, we had only Sunil and Robin as our national team players.
True.
And last year, now we have fourth year that we ended, we had almost 9 players with the national team. So that is, I feel, is more a bigger achievement than winning trophies. Because
mm-hmm.
Then you are contributing to the philosophy of what the owners want, to contribute to the betterment of Indian football. And there were players who were not part of the system in any form before. Like, you never had a Reno in a part of a national team setup before. He has been playing football for the I-League, for Salgaonkars, for Mohun Bagan. He had a Eugene who had played for Shillong, Wangdo. He owns a club in Shillong. I mean, Arima was the name of the club in Meghalaya. So they were players who have played in the past, but they were never part of the first team of the national team or even in the selected camp players or whatever. So if you ask me personally, what I feel like really is something which worth an achievement in the club. Is like we have been able to contribute in our own way to the national team or to the Indian football per se.
Oh, okay.
And that is something which is more important than winning trophies. See, trophies you will win if you do things correctly. I mean, then you need a rub of luck, which is a part in any sport. So all these things combined makes you win trophies. But when you are making a difference, when everybody is talking about the club, suddenly in 4 years, how come Bengaluru becomes the club to beat? In second year, everybody wanted to beat us. Everybody wants to play, give their 100%. You'll have a Mohun Bagan who will leave an AFC Cup match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it's BFC, but that's good. That's good
yeah.
for the sport. That's good for the football in India.
Mm.
But when we create that kind of an image of the club in 4 years, I feel that's an achievement.
Mm.
I feel that's a more bigger achievement than winning trophies. But that as you said, it works hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
That kind of a thought process will only happen when you win trophies. So it has to work hand. But you try to do your best. You don't try to do win. You don't decide, I'm going to do this because I'm going to win the ISL. You want to do what you feel is best within the circumstances, within the limitations and within the surroundings that you have. And then you want to give your 100% and hope that things work out in a way where you end up being the number one team.
Now, 4 years into this process of doing things right and in the right manner, is it right for not only BFC but in general to say that football can be a profitable venture in the country, if not today, few years down the line?
I don't think so.
Can't
honestly
be.
Speaking, of football cannot be commercially viable. It's sort of a commercially viable sport in terms of till the time television is involved.
Okay.
Because television has to be a very important role in buying the rights of that particular league or that particular competition. For that money to come into the central revenue. You see Premier League, you see La Liga, you see... So that's where the bulk of the money comes from. Sponsorship money, whether we have got a sustainable market for a sponsorship money to run the sport is something doubtful, but with Vivo coming with the kind of sponsorship for IPL this year, prior to that, you had that kind of money wasn't there. I mean, that much sponsorship money wasn't there. Now you're talking about 2,200 crores and all, which is wow, it's like big. But that can happen in cricket.
True.
But that in cricket also, previous 10 seasons even of the Indian Premier League, you didn't have that kind of a sponsorship money of that volume.
Right.
There'll be 10 sponsors, but there'll be 50, 60, 70
right.
crores or whatever.
No,
but
there's one chap putting that.
Yeah, so that kind of money, if it's going to come in sport, then yes, then the sponsorship based model can be commercial viable, or it will cut down on your losses a lot.
Okay.
But once you have a television money, putting in a lot of money to buy the rights,
mm-hmm.
and that money when it gets distributed amongst various clubs in that particular league,
mm-hmm.
is when you can say it's a commercial viable model or a less loss making model. Because what I've said right now, if you relate it to all the franchise sports in America,
uh-huh.
where you have got the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, the ice hockey, etc., the baseball,
mm-hmm.
these all models are franchise based model and a television revenue based model,
uh-huh.
where the television, even today the Super Bowl final is watched globally,
uh-huh.
although it's an American played sport, you don't have anybody else playing that.
True.
NBA still, you want in the morning, you want to wake up and
True.
Watch it
yeah.
on the channel, the NBA. So these are television related sports, and that's why they are making good money, and that's why a franchisee-based model is something which people think is a money-making thing.
Uh-huh.
But that only happens when television is a part of that, is my personal opinion about the whole thing.
And now, you are chief technical officer here, so in very involved in the transfers.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Because
one thing which we never,
I mean, it may be difference in working, but we generally don't get to know a lot about if there is an interest in players.
See, that's how it should be.
Hmm.
Because it's no point in discussing it 15 people.
Uh-huh.
Why nobody hears? Because I sit in Pune and I do everything sitting in Pune. None of the team here also knows anything here. Even the media team doesn't know. Media team knows in the morning if we have signed the player and this is his profile,
mm-hmm.
we have to announce it in the evening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it won't go out. It can't go out. Because it's no point in speculations. You do it and prove it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. I can say I'm signing Ibrahimovic. Oh, wow, big news. Everybody's talking about it. Come on, you're not going to sign him.
Yeah.
So what's the point in doing it? And when you sign it, if at all you do sign him,
mm-hmm.
If I want to, I will sign him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do sign him, then when you sign him, that becomes the news by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So why you want things to be speculated? And because there are rumors, there should be, but then it shouldn't come through the club. It should come
mm-hmm.
from outside. That fans talk.
Uh-huh.
There's somebody saying, Cahill is going to be signed. Somebody showed a Sydney thing coming. The media team, so you had Tim Cahill coming. It's fine. It's all fine. But at the end of the day, we know what we are doing, and I feel it should be like that only. And it's better if it's like that.
How is it dealing also? You deal with when you're talking to a club, you talk to the club and then the player?
No, it's obviously...
Or is it because in India, generally, it's 1 year, 2 year contracts?
Yeah, so normally, when you want to sign foreign players or any players for them, even Indian players, most of these players have got agents.
Mm-hmm.
And you or the coach will work with a certain kind of people only whom you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Very important is the trust, because you have to know the right information about the player. You can open a wiki and find his stats, you go to transfer market, blah blah blah, and you get all the numbers. But at the end of the day, how is he as personally, a personality, whether he'll fit into the thought process. Coach will then find his references, other coaching staff previously where he's played with various clubs, to get more information about him. And then we ascertain, yes, this is the kind of a player that would probably fit into our style of play. And then you will see the player coming in. And obviously the coach plays a very, very important role in selecting the foreign players. And I always maintain that the coaching staff, the technical staff, should be given the choice to select the players.
Mm-hmm.
And not as a management, these are your set of 20 players, coach, please come and take them. I don't believe in that. I believe that the coach has to be comfortable with the kind of players he's bringing in at the club.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works.
And what about the transfer money? Is there a transfer money involved?
No, there isn't. In India, there has not been much transfer money. Only two players that I know of have had transfer money. One was, there was a player called Lester Fernandez, he's
right.
from Bangalore,
mm-hmm.
and he was playing for Pune FC,
mm-hmm.
and that time United Sports Club in Calcutta, which
right.
became Prayag United,
ah.
with the sponsorship of Prayag, they went on a spending spree to get the best players in India, and that's when Lester went to Calcutta, to Prayag, from Pune FC with the transfer money. That was the first case that I knew of. And the second case that we only did was Amrinder, because
mm-hmm.
when we took Amrinder from, he was obviously Pune FC, by then had shut down, but they had a 2 year contract on him, and then I had to give him some compensation money because he came from their academy.
Oh, okay.
So for us it was important. See, we believe that if somebody has genuinely taken efforts to create a player, which in that particular case Pune FC had done it,
mm-hmm.
I felt it was right that we gave them a transfer money, because they were unfolding and they asked for it and we gave it to them. So these are two cases that I know of. I don't know anybody else.
Otherwise it's just dealing
with, because normally, as you said, the players are contracted for 1 year. So
mm-hmm.
The concept of buying out a contract and then having the player here has not yet come, and I hope it comes, because it's good. Because today if I'm taking a certain foreigner, like
mm-hmm.
I'll give you my just an example, like how I would think that today if I'm going for a foreigner, coach says we won't have the foreigner, this is the guy we won't have. Now if he has already an existing another year contract, so now what would you do? Then you'd ask the club whether the transfer money is there. I would say, we don't want to go for that player because he's already got a contract another year, let's
mm-hmm.
look for the other player. So that kind of a transfer money thing has never happened so far, but maybe going forward it may happen, because it happens globally everywhere.
Right.
So
It's open market next year. I think
Neymar can go anywhere. Mbappe can go anywhere. Real Madrid.
200 million. Yeah.
Yeah. So be it. So but that's how
no
it
amount.
Is. Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, you have to be sensible enough to see whether the market requires that kind of a thing, because we are not going for that bigger players. And then when you're looking at a certain, you have to be honest, this is the level of Indian football and you want players from this level, maybe this level, maybe this level. But then when you're at this level, you have enough players in that position which are free players. Do we need to do transfer fee? Do we need to do that then? That's where you don't want to do it then.
And what about foreigners? How do you go about scouting the foreigners? Because guys who come into India, especially Indian football, most of them I never heard of before.
Again, as I said, it's a network that you have to work with. It's agents, it's ex-coaches of the players which you want to target, and most importantly, the current coach of the club which who wants to get a certain foreigner. So these are the 3-4 important things that you want to do. When we knew that we were going to keep Roca for another year, I went to Spain just before the season got over. The first week of
April. I saw a picture of you in stadium.
Yeah.
Bernabeu.
Yeah, Bernabeu.
Yeah.
But so the reason why I went was just to look at places, look at players, how the league happens. I mean, obviously, I put a picture with the, watching the Atletico Madrid Champions League and also the Manchester United Celta Vigo.
Okay.
But this is only two. I didn't see only these two matches. I saw around 7-8 Segunda A matches, Segunda B matches.
Okay.
And that's what I had gone for. I mean, that was something like my personal thing.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to watch a game. I mean, at the end of the day.
The second and third divisions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, Segunda A is the second division and Segunda B is the third division. And there's Tercera, which is the fourth division.
Okay.
So I did see a Tercera division match because I wanted to gauge what kind of level we and... Where do we stand in the tree of Spanish football structure?
Okay.
So
where do we stand?
No, there's still a long way to go. I mean, we could probably we could be probably amongst the. I mean, I'm looking at the I League club that we were in the 4 years, and I'm comparing that to that. We probably could be amongst the maybe 4th to 8th position teams or 4th to 12th position team in the Segunda B.
Oh,
okay.
So it's not that bad, but that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is honestly a reality, and. Obviously, I went and saw many of these pre-season places also that we are now going to one of them.
Uh-huh.
But I had been to another couple of places also. So the idea was, because when you have a coach, you know who is going to be.
Uh-huh.
Then you know where the players are going to be from. You know where you would likely want to do a pre-season.
Uh-huh.
So that's natural. And see, today, that's where you want to give the coach the onus to do
right.
his team.
Right.
Because I told him, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. I want somebody from Colombia. I want somebody from Korea. Language is going to be a problem. Understanding is going to be a problem.
True.
So, and with timelines that we are running right now for this season, we don't have time for all these things. We want to just move on. You know, like it has to be at a pace. You see, we had a draft. 2 days the boys are out in pre-season. 6 days they do. We have gone out. We come back, play matches there.
Mm-hmm.
Come back here. 7 days we are playing a competition here. So,
mm-hmm.
so we have to work hard. Decisions had to be made early.
Mm-hmm.
Planning had to be done before.
Mm-hmm.
So, players had to be taken before, so that's how we got the players before.
And how do you scout Indian players?
Indian players is what you see. You see so many games now.
Like especially like youngsters, like we know Ashley wanted to play against TFA so that he can watch Udanta.
Yeah, so basically Udanta was what Pradyuman and I had in mind. Ashley came in much later. We knew this, that there was a player, Udanta. Richard Hood was our head of youth development, and he was at TFA also, so he had known Udanta, and I had seen Udanta play myself in one of the tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was very clear Udanta had to come. I had spoken to Pradyum says, you are right, brilliant, great player. So then, how can we bring him here? So then we told Ash that you needed practice games. Let's play practice games with TFA. So we arranged for 2 games with them, and I was sitting here watching the game.
Yeah.
And Ashley was there on the bench, and I remember
this is a Cristiano Ronaldo story.
No, within 9 minutes or 10 minutes of the game, I get a call from Ashley from the bench.
Hmm.
We have to sign him now. As simple as that. So that's how he went. So you have to know a side of you. You need to have a very good network.
Mm.
Like for example, to be honest with you, Pradyum has a very good network in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's been a
Shillong.
He was a part there, and
I heard he never takes vacation. His vacation is going in scouting games.
Yeah, he does that more or less. He does everywhere. He comes to Bangalore FC's matches also to do scouting.
I've seen him see the Super Division matches.
Yeah, he does. He does that. So you need to see a lot of matches for that. Luckily for us, because of the people we are working in Bangalore FC, whether it's Srinivas, whether it's Sushmit, whether it's myself, we have also been associated with the AIFF.
Right.
Mm. So we know a lot of coaches also who are part of various age group teams also. So we get to know. So see, today you have to create your own brand as a Bangalore FC club. Brand in the sense as a good club. I'm not saying as a brand, but as a very good club. For those coaches also to recommend the boys that if you get an opportunity to play for a club like a Bangalore FC, you should go. And this is very evident from that press conference which the boy from the under 17 World Cup had.
Real Madrid, he said BFC.
BFC. So I feel proud like this, because that's what then we know that we are doing certain things right. And automatically this networking system only will help you get the players. Now with our youth setup with John Keela, he himself has gone and seen every game. What happens is previously where there was this scouting, you used to go to the final round of a Subroto Cup final or a final round of a Mir Iqbal Trophy or round of an under 18. And you see 8 clubs which are there and they are playing, or 6 clubs which have come, and then you select players from there. What I wanted to do this year, which luckily for me, John also, me and John get along very well in terms of our thought processes. And he's a youth development coach guy only. You give him big guys, he'll go mad. He prefers living with the youth because he's done all 8-10 years in Holland, in Ghana, with youth programs only. So what I told him is we need to not just go for the final round. We have to go for the preliminary rounds also. Because in preliminary rounds, the state teams may not reach the final round. But that particular state team may have 4-5 players who are good.
Right.
Just because that team did not reach the final round, that means we are not getting a chance to watch those boys. So this year we went to all preliminary rounds also for the under 14s as well as the under 15s as well as the under 18s nationals. And that's how we got the list of the players, because then those are genuinely players which nobody has seen, because they're all raw new players. And then whatever our, and obviously John went to many of these places. And where John couldn't go, we sent our other coaches, and then they came with the list. And the players which John was confident that he has or he himself has seen, they were in. And the others whom John hadn't seen, we called them to Bellary again for a final trial, and then we selected them. So you have to have this kind of a scouting network. And wherever we go, you must have seen that when we did our scouting programs, we did it in 5 states. So in that 5 states, it had to be with the help of somebody there, or some coach or some known person. So as I said, because of Srinivas, myself, we know a lot of people. So who can be our eyes there? Who can recommend, boss, this is a good player, coach, please have a look at him. So you have to have a network. Without a network, you cannot scout players. And obviously, you need to go and watch a lot of games. And once the coach see, today I will see a game. I'm not a coach, but I will watch a game. I'll say you are a good player. But that final decision cannot be mine. It has to be that particular coach who's associated with that particular team.
Right.
It is. I personally believe that the coach should decide what the players are, not the management should recommend. The final decision has to be always with the coach. And that is something which I feel I would like to keep that as my principle, because I think that helps a lot.
Talking a little more about the senior team and the foreigners that you inside, this you always see the West Asian clubs do really well. Any reason why Indians don't prefer signing them? Because I always wanted some West Asian.
I will tell you the reason for it is basically there are a couple of things. One is they get a lot of money there, which you cannot match here, which is a very very important aspect for them to entice them to come here. And From a personal point of view, I feel ki the Middle Eastern players are very lazy. Because that mentality in Middle East is, you know, you wake up, it's because it's hot outside, so you wake up only late, you go out for work late, by the sundown you're back home, so you hardly work for 3-4 hours. So they are lazy. And you try to make them work hard also, they will not like in working. We are not out in the sun. They've got their own thought processes which will never match here. So not only India, you see, where do you see Middle Eastern players playing globally? You never see, because first of all, whatever, maybe a certain player, the best player right now who won the award for the best player, he plays for Alain, and he gets offers from European clubs also, but he doesn't want to move because he's happy with the money he's getting there. He knows that he has to work a little, earn more, work a little, earn more. So that's the mindset that they have. So you will never see a lot of Asian, Middle Eastern players going anywhere outside of their area. So that's the only reason. There is no other reason.
Then one last thing that we wanted to ask you. You were with the Indian team during Bob Houghton's time. And now Indian team under Constantine. 96 in the world. What's the difference between the two teams? Is there a particular difference that you see?
honestly speaking, I wouldn't say there's a difference.
Uh-huh.
It's just about how the AFF has planned the calendar in how you play against which and what time,
okay,
and whether you constitute that as an official game,
mm-hmm,
is when you can see a difference.
Okay.
Now for me, we are 96, which is brilliant. 1 year down the line, if you are again 96,
mm-hmm,
then yes,
there's
a brilliant achievement. Right now, we have managed the calendar in a way,
mm-hmm,
this is my opinion,
okay,
and I'm being very honest about
and
it. And
I
don't
share it with you.
And there's no disrespect with any coach,
true,
because I know Mr. Constantine is doing a brilliant job. In when he came, he had a transition period where certain players were going,
mm-hmm,
and he gave so many players a chance.
True.
And in spite of that, even though the calendar is managed in a way,
mm-hmm,
in a way where you get to play against opposition on FIFA days, where if you win, you get a lot of points,
uh-huh,
which the jump will be high, but you still have to perform on the pitch.
True.
And he's got the boys to do it. So there is credit for him.
Mm-hmm.
But if there has to be a comparison,
mm-hmm,
I mean, this team can be the greatest team. If after 1 year also we are in the 90s to 110 also,
mm-hmm,
in that thereabouts, then I think that's a brilliant achievement.
You
of coach and the
happening?
Boys. I think there's a lot of possibility because, see, what is more importantly happened is earlier when you had to qualify for an Asian Cup,
mm-hmm,
which we did in Doha,
right,
after 24 years,
mm-hmm,
there used to be a certain way of qualification where you had to play an AFC Challenge Cup.
True.
So my first appointment was when I took the Indian under 23 team to Sri Lanka,
uh-huh,
for an AFC Challenge Cup.
Okay.
That time the senior team should have played,
mm-hmm,
but since we had already qualified in Qatar, we decided to send the under 23 boys.
Okay.
And that's where I went for the as my first assignment.
Okay.
So that was the only process of qualification. Mm-hmm. Since last year, the World Cup qualifying process and the Asian Cup qualifying process has changed.
True.
So that has helped us play a lot of games,
uh-huh,
which will help every nation, not only us,
mm-hmm,
every nation.
Yeah.
And those games will be counted in your ranking for FIFA or AFC or whatever. So that's the biggest difference for me. That is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I will not say there's a difference between what Bob Houghton did or what Stephen Constantine,
okay,
did, or in between what, when I was also a coach or manager, we had Mr. Savio Madeira, who was,
right,
the assistant coach, also as the head coach. We had Arman Colasso also as the head coach. So I was the manager under three head coach, rather four head coaches if I take the under 23.
Uh-huh.
We had Sukhvinder Singh.
Uh-huh.
Then when I went with the last assignment which Bob Houghton had for the Indian team was again the Challenge Cup in Malaysia.
Uh-huh.
So that was his last assignment. That time I was a manager under him. Then I was a manager under Arman Colasso,
mm-hmm,
and then under Mr. Savio Madeira.
Mm-hmm.
Before Wim came, I was no more the manager. So I've done under four coaches. So it's very difficult to compare.
Uh-huh.
Every coach has got their own strong points, own weak points. So that's part and parcel with every human being.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But what is difference is, the basic difference has been the way this selection process or the qualification process for World Cup as well as the Asian
so
Cup is different.
You have more matches on FIFA.
Yes, you are playing more matches now because you are seeing now we are again going to play so many games.
True.
For the final qualification,
uh-huh,
that happens. So you get that much opportunities to play,
mm-hmm,
on the FIFA international dates.
Mm-hmm.
And that automatically is going to help you,
okay,
you know, make your ranking,
okay,
go ahead.
Uh-huh.
I remember I can give you one incident. We were playing in the Al Saad Stadium in Doha,
uh-huh,
where the under 23
yeah,
just played recently.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing against Qatar in the international friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Arman Colasso was the coach. So it was a tough opposition playing,
yeah,
in Doha in Qatar against the Qatar team. It was all anyways going to be,
yeah,
difficult. So we had a pre-match meeting,
mm-hmm,
and when it's an international friendly and official, you're allowed to make six substitutions.
True.
So we decided it will be six substitutions, an official game, whatever, blah blah blah, and we played the game, and we were leading 1-0. So if you'd have won that time, at that point of time only, we'd have jumped around 30 to 40 ranks.
Uh-huh.
But what happened was, both the coaches did 7 and 8 substitution. So automatically that match disqualifies as an international friendly, where you can count the points.
Hmm.
So that was something. So my personal opinion at that time was, we as a nation, and I was part of that being an administrator, did not give the necessary importance to these things. And in the past 1.5 years, a lot of importance has been given to that. Playing on a FIFA day,
mm-hmm,
having that, maintaining the FIFA calendar. See, ideally speaking, your national team, your calendar for the football in your country should be basis your national team.
Mm-hmm.
When I was the manager of the national team, till maybe the recent 1 or 2 years, the national team calendar is based on the league calendar of India. So
wrong.
The way the I-League is around that, the national team plays. Should be the other way around. When, if you open your laptop and just do a research and see, go to FIFA website. FIFA has given you the international dates
in those 2 weeks.
For 2 years, the calendar is already out.
Yeah.
So the national team or the federation or the administrators like us should plan this well in advance, keeping those calendar in mind.
Mm.
Why are we not doing that? Why couldn't we do that before? is something which I've always wondered, and I think going forward that should be the case, that importance should be given to national teams. Club leagues will follow. Today, if Bengaluru FC does well, is fine, but if Indian team does well, then the Bengaluru FC and the Indian football will automatically do well. Is how I like to think, and I think that's the best way everybody should think. Aim should be Indian football, club football will automatically follow.
Bob Houghton had built a good platform
yes.
at that time, but
yes.
then Wim Kaufman's period, we didn't dormant for a while.
Yeah, but it depends. Yeah, you cannot blame the coaches, you cannot blame the federations all the time. It's about how each one at that point of time, circumstances were different, challenges were different, competitions were different. So it's all different at different occasions. You cannot stereotype one type. Bob Houghton did everything good, Wim Kaufman did everything bad, Stephen Constantine is doing extremely poor, or Savio Modena did extremely well. It's not about that. It's about situation, circumstances, and how we can fight within the situation and circumstances and take decisions which can overall help the Indian football is I think the decision making is all about. Development is all about decision making. It's as simple as that. You make the right decisions which are in the interest of the sport, interest of the game, and not your individual interest. You'll have a success rate 101%.
What I was getting at was Constantine now. Do you think he's built a good platform? Because
yes,
now
yes.
you are.
No, obviously. I mean, see, as I said, he took the team when he was in a transition period where a lot of players were retiring or putting, you know, hanging up their boots. And if you don't have a lot of experience, then to get these youngsters. So now he has a massive talent pool, you know, and for him to choose the players. Now he himself took the under 23, so he knows what is coming next in line also.
Yeah.
So that's something which should happen. This is which he's doing, things are very, very good. And only thing now, how good he's done so far so good, brilliant. But if this has to maintain, our ranking has to be in that same 90 or whatever it is. It may be 110, 115 also, but in the next year, when at the same time, we should have the same ranking. And then I'm pretty sure everybody will say that probably one of the top coaches who have coached in India.
Excited about reading his book?
I hear there are a lot of things in that. that's it. But it's his opinion, right? At the end
yeah.
of the day, we should value that. Whatever said and done, everyone has their opinion. And we should respect whatever he felt at that time. It's as simple as that. I'll definitely read it though.
And one last thing. When I spoke to Baichung when India reached the 100, 101 mark, he said in India especially, numbers matter a lot.
Yes, they do matter, I agree.
Yeah. You second that thought?
Yes, but
what?
See, the numbers do matter from a perception point of view. But if you are an administrator taking decisions which are going to matter in that particular decision making, then numbers don't make a difference. Definitely no. I cannot be happy that India is 96. I should look forward. How can I take them to the top 20?
Okay.
That's when you see the nation between 1 to 60, 1 to 75. It's obviously 1 to 20. They'll be a, they're the top teams. But from 20 to say 75 is not that big a difference. It's how what competition you play, how you manage the thing. So in that way, numbers don't give you the right thing. Today when we were 170, we were not a team of 170. I always felt that we were a team of 120, 130. It's just the way the ranking system works, or just the way the points are, you gain the points. So from that point perspective, the numbers, as an administrator, it shouldn't matter. But from a fan perspective, from a total football scenario perspective, our country is all about numbers. What was the record of Sachin Tendulkar? How much goals Sunil Chhetri has scored? It's all about that. How much is Udanta going to score this season? Who was the highest goal scorer?
Yeah.
Who clocked how many minutes? So it's a number game at the end of the day from a perspective. But decision making as an administrator cannot go on numbers.
Okay.
He can use that as a statistics to help you take the decision, but it cannot be completely based on the numbers. Is what I personally feel.
Well, that was Mandar giving in a lot of information about how Bengaluru FC became what it is today.
Yes, you can see how regimented and what the plan that they had always going forward to make it the team that it is. Although it's surprising about the, you know, the number of success and how quickly that's come for them.
Well, I know that cows in India is the most interesting bit for you.
It's very funny.
Yeah, but for me, it also seems the reason why we don't see West Asian players in India. The primary reason because they're just lazy.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, BFC has a good bunch of players and the coach and his style dictates a lot. About what kind of players you should be getting. So.
Well, we hope that you guys enjoyed it as much as we did interviewing Mandar.
Yes, it was great fun and we hope we can give and bring more such interviews to you in the future as well.
Until then, stay tuned and enjoy the game.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.